Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's June 10th in Shmuel Beis. We're in Perkei Tes, chapter 18, Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19. David's men have won the war against Avshalom. Avshalom has been killed. And now the news has to come back to David, who is waiting for information. V'achimatz ben Tzadok Amar. Achimatz, the son of Tzadok. Tzadok is the incoming Kohen Gadol. Achimatz is his son. He was one of the two people who were the messengers between between what was going on in Yerushalayim and David. So Achimatz ben Tzadok Amar, he said, Arutza na, I will run now. Ba'avasu es ha-melech, and I will inform the king. Ki shifato Hashem yaroivav, that Hashem has judged him from his enemies, has saved him from his enemies. So he wants to go and deliver the message. But we're going to here have a protracted debate over how, who should deliver the message to David and how it should be delivered. Vayomer lo Yoav, Yoav said to him, Lo ish besora ato hayom hazeh, you are not a man of news today. Uvisarta b'yom achir, you will give the news on another day. Vayom hazeh, on this day, lo sevaser, you shall not give the news, ki al kein ben hamelech meis, for the son of the king has died. Vayomer Yoav lakushi, so Yoav said to the Kushi, so this would be a non-Jew who was there from Kush, which is usually translated as Ethiopia.
Have we seen him before?
No. No. Lech haged la melech isa. Go tell the king what you've seen. Vayishtachu Kushi liyov vayarotz. So the Kushi bowed to Yoav and he ran to tell the king. So Yoav has dispatched the Kushi to go tell David what has happened. So Achimatz ben Tzadok continued, and he said to Yoav, "Vihima, and what will be? You know, what difference does it make? Arutzan na gamani achari akushi. I will also run now after the Kushi." Vayomer Yoav, Yoav said to him, "Lama ze'atarats bini." Why would you run, my son? Ulacha ein besara motzeis, and for you there is no news to be found, meaning no giving of news to be found. So then Achimatz said, Vihima arutz. What will be? I will run. So what? Let me run. Vayomer lo rutz. And he said to him, run. Vayaratz Achimatz derech ha-kikar. Achimatz ran the way of the kikar of the plain, of the field. Vayavor es ha-kushi, he passed the Kushi. Meaning he took a shortcut. Right. And he ran ahead of the Kushi. So Achimatz wanted to be the one to deliver the news. Yoav said, this is not a day to be the one to deliver the news. You'll do it another time. And then he turns around and tells the Kushi, you run and give the news. Achimatz says, let me run after him. Yoav says, why would you want to do that? And then he says, I'll run. Yoav says, okay, run. And he ran the way of the kikar and passed the Kushi. Now, the question here is, what was Yoav's reason for not wanting Achimatz to go? And then how did Achimatz wear him down? Is it that just Yoav got tired of saying no? It's hard to believe that. What's that?
Just like parents.
It's hard to believe that Yoav is in charge. He's the general. You don't. You can't keep on fighting with the general. So we have to dissect this conversation and see what has changed over the course of the conversation. But we're not ready yet. Chavdal 24. V'David Yoshev Bein Shnei Hasharim. David was sitting between the two gates of the city that he was in. V'yelech Hatzofe El Gag Hashar. And the Tzofa, the seer, the one with the good eyesight, he went up to the roof of the gate on top of the wall. Vayisa Asena Vayar, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Vihine Ish Ratz Levado, and a man was running by himself. So they have no news. They don't know what happened. And here's a man running by himself. Vayikra Hatzofe Vayagid LaMelech, the seer, the lookout, called and he said to the king, Vayomer HaMelech, and the king said, so he told the king that there's a man running. Vayomer HaMelech, the king said, Imlevado, if he's running by himself, Besoro Befiv, then there's news in his mouth. And Zavod understood that one man running alone indicates news. If it was a whole bunch of people running, that would indicate retreat. Right. One man running alone indicates news. And he was going and getting closer. So then the lookout saw another man running. And the lookout called to the gatekeeper. And he said, behold, a man is running by himself, meaning another man. Now he calls to the gatekeeper because he told David already, and David understood that there's somebody coming to give news. But now this next guy, this might be trouble. And someone else is running after the first one. So what does that mean? So now he calls to the gatekeeper. This might be something that the guards of the city need to be aware of. Vayomer HaMelech, but the king said, Gam Zemavaser, this is also a news bearer. King understood that this also was not trouble, at least not in the sense of physical trouble, but there's two different people bearing news. David understood the first one's bearing news, the second one's bearing news. This is not, one is not pursuing the other. It's two people out to bring news, which means that it appears like there is one message, and then there was more information that the next messenger is going to bring. Vayomer Hatzofe, and the lookout said, Ani roe es merutzas harishon, I see the running of the first one, kimrutzas Achimatz ben Sadok, that he's running like Achimatz ben Sadok. He couldn't see his face yet, but he was able to tell by his gait that he is Achimatz ben Sadok. So this lookout wasn't just a person with good eyesight, he was a person who recognized people from afar, and he was able to tell that that was Achimatz. Vayomer HaMelech, this is critical, Farmer Melch, the king said, Ish tov zeh, that's a good man. Vel besora tova yavo, he'll bring good news. If Achimatz is bringing the news, it must be good news. Vayikra Achimatz, vayomer el hamelech, shalom. And Achimatz, he arrived and he called, and he said to the king, shalom. Vayishtachu lamelech, he bowed to the king, la'apav arza, to his face to the ground. Vayomer, and he said, Baruch Hashem Elokecha, blessed is Hashem your God, Asher Sigares Anashim Asher Nosu Es Yadam Ba'Adoni HaMelech, that he has locked up, reined in the men who have lifted their hands against my master the king, meaning the rebellion has been crushed. Vayomer HaMelech, and the king said, Shalom Lanar Lav Shalom, is there peace to the lad who have Shalom? So David immediately jumps to what is in his mind, the most important thing. Vayomer Achimatz, Achimatz says, now Achimatz knows what happened to Avshalom. You have told him you can't go because the king's son is dead. But Achimatz here is very selective in what he says. Ra'isi ha'amon ha'gadol, I saw the great confusion, lishloach es evan ha'melech Yoav ves avdecha, that Yoav should send this servant of the king and your servant, meaning the servant of the king is going to be the Cushi, your servant is me, is Achimatz. But I don't know what. In other words, he says, I saw there was a great deal of tumult, and Yoav sent me off, and I saw that he sent somebody else too, but I don't know what's going on. So he dodged the question. Vayomer HaMelech, the king said, Sov hi siat sev ko, turn, stand here. So stand to the side. Vayisov vayamod, he turned and he stood. He waited. Vinea kushi ba, and behold the kushi came. Vayomer kushi, the kushi said, Yisbaser Adoni HaMelech, It should be known news to my master, the king, ki shefatcha Hashem hayom, that Hashem has judged you today, miyad kol hakamim alecha, from all those who have risen up against you. He saved you today from all those who have risen up against you. Vayomer hamelech alakushi, the king said to the Kushi, hashalom lanar lehav shalom, is there peace to the lad to have shalom? Vayomer hakushi, the Kushi said, very selective in how he speaks, you chanar oive adoni hamelech, they should be like the lad, all the enemies of my master the king, all the enemies of my master the king should be like the lad. V'chol asher kamu alecha l'ra, and all those who have risen up against you for evil, they should be like the lad, which was a the message. What's that?
It's an answer,
but it's a message David understood full well. That means that Avshalom has been killed. And now, Perek Yutes, chapter 19, we'll have David's reaction to the death of Avshalom. Now, this is quite a lengthy discussion about bearing the news and how it should be done. Mar tells us in Maseches Psachim that a person should not be the bearer of bad news. It's not a good thing to be the bearer of bad news. There is almost a morbid desire people have to be the one to tell the news. Good news, fine, and bad news. People get a sense of satisfaction out of being the one who gets to tell the news, even when the news is tragic. If you ever noticed that, people sometimes get very there's a certain satisfaction in being the one to tell the tale. The Gemara tells us one should not do that. One should not be the bearer of bad news, if it can be avoided. And if one does need to tell bad news, one should tell the news in a roundabout way. Gemara tells us that the story of two sages that met each other after many years, and one asked the other one how his father was. And his answer was, if I remember correctly, his answer was, my mother is fine. Mm-hmm. It was, rather than saying that his father was deceased, he said his mother is fine. It was a way of not explicitly saying the news. The Kushi here clearly does that. He's clearly a person who knows how to deliver bad news. This is not the first time he's ever delivered bad news. He knows how to do it. Now, in their day, with the absence of any kind of media, so the only way the news was ever delivered was in this manner. If there's a battle going on, there are casualties, and the casualties have to be reported. Now, even today, governments try to report casualties of war personally to the next of kin. In their day, there were no pictures. There was no reporting from the scene. You didn't even know whether there were casualties, let alone who were the casualties. And so this person, the Kushi, probably had experience delivering bad news in many different contexts. We also know from what we learn over here that when David saw Achimaatz, he said, this is a good man, he will bring good news, which means that when good news was being delivered, it was delivered by someone of stature. Meaning that when the person came to your door, you already had an inkling of whether it was going to be good or bad news, depending on who was knocking at the door. Mm-hmm. That Achimaatz, who is the son of the incoming Kohen Gadol, we presume is himself a great tzaddik, and a great tzaddik is going to deliver good news. The Kushi, on the other hand, doesn't say, we know nothing about him. Doesn't say he was good, doesn't say he was bad. I presume the Kushi was of the rank and file. He was a regular person who was dispatched to deliver news. And therefore, when David sees the Cushi, I imagine he's immediately apprehensive, which is probably why he jumps at the next question after the Cushi tells him that the rebellion is over. He jumps at the next question, what's with the lad Avshalom? Now, given that background, now let's understand what happened between Achimatz and Yoav. Yoav needs to send word to David. And the news is that the rebellion is over and Avshalom is dead. Now, we discussed last time that Yoav deliberately disobeyed David's order to spare Avshalom, and Yoav disagreed with David's decision that Avshalom should be spared. And we put this again on the level of a debate between great people, where both arguments had merit, and Yoav, given his position, feels that he has the right to override the king's direct order, and he does. And he kills Avshalom. But he's got to deliver the news. Yoav is not going to pretend it didn't happen, so he's got to deliver the news. So Achimatz wants to be the one to deliver the news. Says Yoav, this is not a time for you to be the one to deliver the news. It's not a good thing to deliver the news right now. The Targum even says, you're not going to get paid for this one. There's nothing good that's going to come out of this one. Right? No one's going to shower you with gifts by delivering this news. So now, what difference does it make? So he wants to deliver the news. Let him do it. So Yoav clearly doesn't want Achimatz to do it because Achimatz being the news bearer would indicate that it's good news. But Yoav doesn't want David to get the impression that it's good news because it isn't good news. And when you shock somebody who's expecting good news with bad news, with tragic news, that can be very, very that can be very damaging. That's not a good thing. One has to prepare someone for bad news. And sending Achimatz to deliver the news is not a good idea. So he turns immediately. Yoav doesn't wait to discuss this any further. Yoav's the general. He's in charge. So he tells Achimatz, no. And he turns to the Cushi and says, go. Cushi bows and takes off. Then Achimatz says, okay, fine. Let me run after the Cushi. If you look in Pasuk Chaf Beis 22, Achimatz continues and he says to Yoav, let it, whatever will be, Arutzana gam ani acharei hakushi, I'll also run after the Cushi. So Achimatz here is suggesting something else. Okay, Yoav, I get it. You don't want me to be the one to deliver the news. Fine, so you sent the Cushi. Let me run after the Cushi, so the Cushi will deliver the bad news, then I'll bring the good news, that at least the rebellion is done. Yoav says, what's the point? Yoav knows that there's no good in this. Nothing's going to come good of that. When David gets the bad news that Avshalom is dead, it's not going to be relevant. You're not going to be giving good news anymore that the battle has been won. So then Achimatz says, whatever will be, let me run. Now here he doesn't say, let me run behind the Cushi. He says, let me run. Yoav understands that Achimatz is saying, let me run ahead of the Cushi. And to this, Yoav agrees. And Achimatz, using a shortcut, runs ahead of the Cushi. Now we have a very interesting situation. On the one hand, David's first is first told that in the proximity of how they're running, that there's someone running. David knows that means news. News, though, he doesn't know good or bad. It's not clear. Someone is running. There's news. Then, before they know who the first one is, there's word that there's a second one. Now, it seems to me Achimatz, ahead of the Kushi, has calibrated his pace. He made sure that he was just enough ahead of the Kushi that he will get there first, but that he will not be recognized before they see that there's a second person running. So David already knows that there's two pieces of news. That means something happened and then something else happened. David's aware of that before they know who the first one is. Then the lookout says, I recognize the gait of the first one, and it's Achimatz. David says, Achimatz, that means good news. But as even as David is saying that, he's aware there's somebody else. Mm-hmm. David is not being given false hope that everything is wonderful. Because whatever Achimatz is going to tell me, there's another piece of news that Achimatz doesn't have that's coming with the second person. And since Achimatz is necessarily good news, because it's Achimatz, then it is probable that there is bad news as well. David, therefore, even before the news arrives, has probably guessed at the news. There's good news, which probably means the battle is won, and there's bad news, which probably means something happened to Avshalom. It couldn't be the other way around, that the good news is Avshalom is okay, and the bad news is the battle is lost. Because then there is no good news. Right? Okay. It's only good news that Avshalom is okay if the battle was won. So David, as brilliant as he was, likely already figured out most of what's going to happen. Just by the way things are happening here. Just by the way the people are arriving. Now, to us, this may seem unbelievably brilliant to intuit all this. But the truth is, I think it is a lot of brilliance, but the truth is that because we're used to getting news through all kinds of media, and we're not used to this whole system, so the intuitions that you would have upon seeing different things, we're not in that mode, we're not in that culture. Where in their day, this probably wasn't such huge leaps. It probably was pretty standard. So when Achimatz comes, he gives the good news that the battle is won. The king then says, what about the lad of Shalom? And Achimatz dodges the question. But there's someone else on the road. So David says, okay, wait here. The Cushi comes. David sees that it's a Cushi. David realizes that this is probably going to be bad news. The Cushi delivers first the good news, which was already delivered. There's nothing new in that. And then David says to him, what about the lad Avshalom? And he tells him that, in a roundabout way, essentially, Avshalom is dead. So the process, in the end, is effective. It's what would be the best way. If the Cushi would have gone alone, then the bad news would have been delivered, the good news would have been lost. Even if the Cushi would have said it, David would be already worried about that. It wouldn't be anything to talk about. That's, if the Cushi just showed up, as soon as David would see him running, the only one person running would be the Cushi, David would know the news is all bad. And there'd be nothing, there'd be no saving, there's nothing there that would be there would be no redeeming quality to it. If Achimatz would come second, also, by the time he got there, there'd be nothing to tell David that would make him realize anything good happened. But the way it was orchestrated, the good news of the winning of the battle is delivered, and then the bad news of the loss of Avshalom. So it's the old, I have good news and bad news. Mm-hmm. Which one do you want to hear first? All right? Good. Yeah.
Did Achimatz feel that there was a special zechus for him to do that?
He wanted to be the one to tell the good news. There is a zechus to tell the good news. There is that zechus, and he wanted to be the one to give it. Yeah.
Could he have also been motivated by compassion for David? Besides this?
Very likely. Very likely. I mean, they all know what's going on over here. They all know. They were all heard the direct order to Yoav not to kill Avshalom. Yeah. They all know that Yoav killed Avshalom. They all realize that Yoav has his reason for killing Avshalom, and that the reason is not a crazy reason, that there is merit to it, but that David is not going to be happy, and the news is delivered in that manner.
Part of what they need to do is help David achieve a frame of mind where he can go back to being the king and be effective. You know, if he's hit simply by the bad news, God forbid die from the bad news, where he could be so distraught that he can't be an effective king, you know. So it's also politically wise to try to get
yes.
his mind thinking along the lines that now he's got his kingdom back, even if it's only for a few minutes. They've got to prepare for the future. This is going to be their king now.
Right.
Again.
It's more than that, as you're going to see as we read through Perek Yotes. The battle is won. The rebellion is not necessarily over. Meaning, there still are people who are loyal to Avshalom. What's going to happen with Avshalom's loyal followers? And David's reaction can diminish the effect of the victory. The victory ought to end the rebellion. But David's reaction might weaken the effect of the victory. And in fact, we're going to see that there will still be a pocket of resistance. And as we read through Perek Yotes, you'll see how that works out. You got a question?
No, what a question. I was just going to say that I was more impressed with Ahimaaz's planning of the distance between them and knowing how far ahead he had to be versus David knowing what they were going to tell him.
Okay, right. That's calibrating that. The distance, and so that
right, that he would know how far he had to be from the gate, how far the next one had to be behind
him for it all to work together.
Right.
Now, I assume that they knew this look. The lookout probably, clearly, it's a person with very good eyesight. But you know, how far can you see already? So someone who has really, really excellent eyesight, as you all know, I have very, very poor eyesight. I have a brother who, when we were growing up, had 20/10 vision, which means he saw twice as good as an average person.
Wow.
And he had the strongest eye muscles ever seen by the top eye doctors in Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. So we used to play on car trips, we used to play the license plate game.
Yeah.
Right? He'd be able to see the state of the license plate before I could barely see the car.
How many times did you play this game?
No, they would play the game. I'd be in the car, just, you know. Anyway, I imagine that they knew that this, you know, they knew the person had very, very good eyesight, and they probably when you applied for the job of lookout, you probably were tested by how far you could pick out a sparrow in the distance, you know, something like that. So they probably had a general idea of how far away you had to be before he could see a person, but not yet know who you were. You know, it was right.
But that the next one was the right distance behind
before
he recognized
right.
you. So it's just.
However, Ahimaaz must have, when he took the shortcut, got a certain distance ahead, and then he must have, you know, made himself slow down a little bit just to get the right, you know, as he's getting closer to the city, get the right distance so that, you know. Or, you know, it could be you're cresting a hill or something like that in the distance,
right.
Something like that.
So they both were in battle. So they've been in battle. You would think they'd be sweaty and tired and whatever. And how far are they from when they're in the battle and Yoav gives them the direction to get back to tell David? Like,
I don't know. No, I don't think it was a day. I don't think it was that far. Okay. It doesn't seem that way. It seems like it was relatively, you know, close.
But it's all mountainous in Israel. I mean,
yeah, this is on this is in Jordan, but still.
I mean, still
yeah.
mountainous
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Well, we know that David is in Mahanaim.
Yeah, that was in Mahanaim.
And the battle is in
Ya'ar Ephraim,
which is on the same side.
Yeah, they're both in the Jordan.
We know that much in terms of
yeah, but it's hard to know. It's hard to know because everything's on foot, so it's hard to know. You know, like you're saying, they just had a battle. They're running. You know, we just don't operate this way. We don't operate this way. I imagine that they were able to run further distances than any typical person is today because they were used to that. That's what they did. You know,
he was young. I mean, I'm guessing he was fairly young.
I imagine they were both relatively young.
Yeah, so.
And, you know, so.
the plan also depends on there being a shortcut. Ahimaaz had to know the terrain better than the Kushi. And the other thing is that it may not be irrelevant that it was a Kushi because of this watchman, you know, could see that it was a black person coming, so he may not have known exactly who it was, but he knew it wasn't some of the people that he knew.
Right. It would be someone from the rank and file.
Which is what you pointed out is the kind of person who would be delivering bad news.
That
had to be during the day.
Yes, it was definitely during the day. I mean, everything was done during the day.
But by the time they arrived, it was still done.
But the battle had to be during the day. They couldn't fight at night. There was no way to do that. Right. Okay.
Just stop when it gets dark. Don't move.
Well, no. That's the whole story with Yehoshua with the sun stopping because he couldn't continue the battle. It just was physically impossible. They didn't know lights. They can't do the battle. Okay. Now, Perikid Tes. Chapter 19, by Yergaz HaMelech, the king trembled. Now remember, this is his fourth casualty as punishment for the story of Bathsheba. He's now lost four children, three have been killed, one has been molested. And so those are the four punishments. So the king trembled. Vayal al Alias Hashar Vayefk. And he went up on the high part of the gate, and he cried, he wept. V'chol amar belechto, and so he said when he went, B'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom, B'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom, Mi'itein musi ani sachtecho, who would give my death that I should be in your place? Avshalom, B'ni, V'ni, Avshalom, my son. Count the times it says B'ni in this pasuk. There are so far, we have five. Five times Avshalom. Five times B'ni. But we're not done yet. He's going to say more. Vayugad liYoav, and it was told to Yoav, Hinei HaMelech Boche. Behold, the king is crying. Vayisabel al Avshalom, and he is mourning over Avshalom. Vatihi hateshua vayomahu le'evel l'chol ha'am. And the salvation was on that day for mourning for the nation. As it should have been a day of celebration, instead it was a day of mourning. Ki shama ha'am vayomahu le'mor, for the nation heard on that day saying, Netzav HaMelech al Beno, the king, his sad over his son. Vayis ganev ha'am bayom hahu lavo ha'ir. And the nation, now vayis ganev, it in context it means they were reluctant or they stole away on that day from coming to the city. It comes from the root to steal. But it means that they avoided coming to the city. Just as the nation steals away when they are shamed, when they run away from the battle. When a nation runs away from the battle, they don't want to come into the city. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. The people didn't want to go, as if they had lost the battle. Similar to those who had lost the battle, they wouldn't want to walk into the city. Usually, a victorious army, they come in to cheers and you know, backslapping, and they hear that they don't want to. They're embarrassed. They don't want to come into the city. V'amelech la'at es panav, and the king covered his face. Keep that word in mind also. La'at v'yizak hamelech kol gadol, and the king cried out a great cry. Bini Avshalom, my son Avshalom, Avshalom bini v'ni Avshalom, my son. Three more benis. That's a total of eight benis. Eight, my son. The Gemara says, why did David say, Bini, my son, for Avshalom eight times? Says the Gemara, seven times he was praying to Hashem to pull him out of the seven levels of Gehenna. Mm-hmm. And the eighth was to put him up into Gan Eden. David was davening to pull Avshalom out of Gehenna. Apparently there are seven levels to Gehenna. And to put him up to Gan Eden. And therefore he says B'ni eight times. Vayavo Yoav el HaMelech HaBayis. Yoav came to the king to the house. Vayom, and he said, Hovashta hayom es p'nei chol abadecha. You have embarrassed today the face of all of your servants. Hamimaltim es nafshecha hayom, that they saved your soul today. Veis nefesh banechuv nosecha, and the souls of your sons and your daughters. V'nefesh Noshecha and the soul of your wives, v'nefesh pilakshecha and the souls of your concubines. You are embarrassing all of those who saved you, your family. They saved all of you. And instead, le'ahava es sonecha v'lisno es ohavecha. You love your enemy and you hate those who love you. Ki gata hayom, for you have said today, ki ein lecha sarim v'avadim, that you don't have officers and servants, means you have no loyal people. Ki adati hayom, because I know today, ki lu Avshalom chai, for had Avshalom lived, v'chulanu hayom mesim, and we would all today be dead, ki az yashar beinecha, then it would be good in your eyes. That's what you're saying. Your behavior is projecting that you would have preferred that we would have all been killed and Avshalom be alive. Ve'ata, and now kum tsei, get up and go out. Ve'daber alev avodecha, and speak on the hearts of your servants. Ki v'Hashem nishbati, because by Hashem I have sworn. Ki ein chayotze, that if you do not go out, im yalin ish itcha halayla, if any man will sleep with you tonight, we'll sleep in your proximity tonight. Meaning, if you're not going to go out to them, then everybody's going to leave. V'ra l'chazos, this will be worse for you, this will be more evil for you, mikol hara ashaba alecha minurecha ra'ata, from all the evil that has come upon you from your young days until now. If you don't turn this into a victory, it will be worse for you than it's ever been. Now, I'm going to read a little further. Vayakam haMelech, the king got up. Vayeshev Bashar, and he sat in the gate. Ulechol haAm, he gidu lemer, to all the nation. They said, saying, Hinei haMelech Yoshev Bashar. Behold, the king is sitting in the gate. Vayavol chol haAm lifnei haMelech, and the whole nation came before the king. VYisrael nas ish lo halav, and Yisrael, meaning those who were supporters of Avshalom, they fled each man to his tent. Now that the king is turning this into a victory, now the supporters of Avshalom go hide in their holes. Vayihi chol ha'am nadon b'chol shivtei Yisrael le'emar, and the whole nation were debating, were talking, in all of the tribes of Yisrael, saying, Hamelech hitzilenu mikaf ha'yivenu, the king David has saved us from all of our enemies in the past. V'hu miltanu mikaf plishtim, he saved us from the plishtim. Ve'ata barach min ha'aretz me'al Avshalom, and now he had to run from the land because of Avshalom. Ve'Avshalom asher mashachnu aleinu, Avshalom who we anointed upon us, meis ba'melchama, he was killed in the war. Ve'ata now, lama atem macharishim l'hashev es ha'melech, why are you waiting to bring the king back to Yerushalayim? So as word is spreading throughout Eretz Yisrael, we made a big mistake that we supported Avshalom. David, he was the one who was our salvation. He saved us from all of our enemies, and then he was chased out, and we anointed Avshalom. What were we thinking? Avshalom is now dead. What are we waiting for? Let's bring the king back to Yerushalayim. So this is the result that Yoav was looking for, and that would not have happened if the king would continue to mourn over Avshalom. Okay, let's pause here. Now, let's understand a few things. There's two different issues here. There is what happened, and then there is what should be the proper reaction. What happened is that Yoav and David disagreed about what should happen with Avshalom, and Yoav did not listen to David's direct command, and he killed Avshalom. That's what happened. Why? We discussed it last week. They debated over what would be the better thing. And we're going to get back to that in a moment. Now the question is, what should the reaction be? So David is distraught. Yoav comes and tells David, listen, you can disagree with my actions, but this reaction is terrible. It's going to undermine you worse than anything else. Because what it's going to show is that you're weak. It's going to show that you're not fit to be king. That even though Avshalom is dead, and Avshalom was ostensibly the impediment to you being king, but you're not leading. You're distraught. You've given up. So then all it's going to take is another person to step forward and decide they want to be king. You're just going to perpetuate rebellion. The rebellion can end now, but only if you step forward. And David listens to Avshalom, to Yoav, and now steps up to the gate, and word starts to spread. The supporters of Avshalom, they run to their tents. Word gets around to all of the Bnei Yisrael, we got to bring David home. Now, we're going to see that there is a pocket of resistance that's still around, and Yoav is going to have to deal with this pocket of resistance, which he will, which we'll get to, not tonight, we're going to get to it in a later week. It's unclear whether what I'm about to say is true, but it is certainly very possible. It is possible that had David immediately reacted the way Yoav wanted him to react, then there would have been no pockets of resistance left. But because David reacted first with the mourning for Avshalom, and he projected what Yoav interpreted as a weakness to everybody else, that gave a certain confidence to a small pocket of resistance. What Yoav was saying is, if you continue this, we're going to have a whole new rebellion on our hands. So David stopped. And therefore, the only thing that's going to be left is a small pocket of resistance. Now, that being said, David's reaction is also not to be ignored. David has reasons for his reaction. Now, we've already discussed one of them. David's reaction is to pull Avshalom out of Gehenna. Because David knows full well that Avshalom did a terrible sin. Terrible sin. Not only did he rebel against his own father, but he did worse than that. He killed people that he should not have killed. That's murder. And he committed Gilui Arayos. He was immoral, having an intimate relationship with his father's concubines in a public manner. So Avshalom has sunk to very significant depths. Remember we said last time that the debate between David and Yoav of what to do with Avshalom, we said, what was Yoav's motivation to defy David? One would be the pragmatic one. The strategic one would be because Avshalom is the rebellion. If you leave him alive, then you are not going to stop the rebellion. But another, as we mentioned last time, was Yoav knows full well also that Avshalom is in a very bad place, and therefore Avshalom needs atonement. He needs kapara. And as we talked about last time, the way Yoav has Avshalom killed, the way he kills him and has Avshalom killed, is very premeditated. Three stakes in his heart because of the three hearts that he stole. 10 people struck him down because of the 10 pilagshim, because of the 10 concubines. David didn't want Avshalom killed. What was David hoping would happen with Avshalom?
Teshuva.
So he was hoping, let Avshalom stay alive, and he will do teshuva. Ultimately, the debate between Yoav and Avshalom and David is what was best for Avshalom, what was best for the Jewish people. Whether David was right, whether Yoav was right, the fact is, Avshalom was killed in a manner that did achieve a level of atonement. We said last time, when Avshalom was hanging by his hair, he could have cut himself loose and gotten away, but he saw Gehenna opened up from under him. We said last time, what does that mean, he saw Gehenna opened up from underneath him? It could be he literally saw Gehenna, it could be. But whatever, whether it means he literally saw Gehenna or he understood Gehenna, either way, he recognized he did bad. He recognized he sinned. And now when he's killed with recognizing his averos as he is being killed. Therefore, his death is a measure of atonement, and David's davening can be effective to pull him out of Gehenna and put him in Gan Eden. If a man dies a rasha, an evil person, and he really is evil, and he died with his evil on his lips, it's not so simple that someone else's davening could get him out of Gehenna. He's got to atone. He's got to atone somehow. And he didn't do teshuvah. But if there was at least a measure of teshuvah before he died, which there was, then David's davening can be effective to enhance that teshuvah and pull him out of Gehenna and put him in Gan Eden. So David's reaction is one of weeping over his son, and in his weeping, he pulls him out of Gehenna and puts him into Gan Eden.
If you are right about the rebellion and all of that, what happens if he had celebrated first and then davened for his son second? Like, is there a time limit?
It could be that would have worked. I imagine that there was an emotional part of this also. I mean, David is very, it says by Yergaski, trembled. David is very distraught. Now, David also doesn't know that there was teshuvah done.
Yeah.
Right? David wasn't there in the battle. He didn't see what happened. He didn't see that he hung from his hair, which was punishing him for his gaiva, for his haughtiness. He didn't see the three stakes. He didn't see the 10 men. He didn't see anything. He didn't see that Avshalom did not cut himself loose, which would have tipped off somebody. What's going on over here? Avshalom is a man of power. He's a powerful man. He's got a sword. He could cut himself loose. It wasn't rocket science to do that. So anybody who would have witnessed the scene would have noticed there's something awry here and may have surmised that he did teshuvah. But David wasn't there. All he got was the news that Avshalom is dead.
So why would David think that his davening would be effective?
It could be he davened hoping.
I mean, you just said that this would be a very difficult feat.
Yes.
If possible at all.
Maybe it could be he hoped he did teshuvah. Then David knew nothing. He didn't know what Avshalom happened, how Avshalom was killed. He knew nothing about the details.
But Achimaaz, because he was so eager to give David the news, why wouldn't he give him that part of the news?
Okay,
I think that would be an important
and it
thing
could,
to
That's
transfer.
A good point. That's a good point. And it could be he did. See, that's the thing. We're not told the details at this point. We're just told the news was given about the war being won, the death of Avshalom. Now, it could be Achimaaz did fill in details. I don't know. You're right. It's possible that David picked up more details at this point in the story. Maybe that's why he's confident enough to daven for his son. But it could also be, even if he didn't have the news, it could be that he's davening hoping that there was some level of teshuva before he died. I'm certainly no expert on the subject, but I would imagine that in most cases, death is not instantaneous. There is some level of time, well, even if it's very quick, but there's some level of time in there, and perhaps he did teshuva right before he died.
Is it so easy just to say 8 times, my son?
No,
I mean,
he's
got to be more to that.
Yeah, he's doing it with intense concentration. He's crying. I mean, that the Gemara is saying when he's saying Bini that there's volumes of davening that go into that one word Bini. We're not told the whole text of what David said. That we're told the Navi is paraphrasing, and the word Bini is meant to evoke in us the crying over. The depth of crying over his son and everything he pours into it. But he poured it out 8 times.
But are we not given the text because then we could use it?
No, I don't think...
It could help other people get out of...
No, I don't think so. I think it comes from the heart. I think it's just davening the way we would daven too. Obviously, David is, you know, the composer of Tehillim.
His stature and we knew what he had said.
Yes.
I mean, wouldn't that be printed out somewhere and we would all be saying it when someone passes away?
My guess is that Tehillim is the place to go. I mean, that's where David's heart is. We all know that. The Tehillim is the expression of...
There's no Tehillim that's...
It's true. That's true. But I don't know... I don't know how exact it has to be. It's just davening for somebody. Yeah. Yeah. So you're
I was going to say, if Achimaaz was the one to tell David that he had done teshuvah, wouldn't he then have to be the one telling him he died?
No,
wouldn't
well,
David get that from that information?
Yeah, but the question is, after the Cushi tells David, would Achimaaz have filled in? Mm. Yeah.
Well, he said he didn't see it, so he couldn't have told him anything.
He said he wasn't going to know what happened. Okay, yeah, that's true. Maybe he backed himself into a corner. I don't know.
Did you want to return to this word
La'ad? Yeah, that's what I get to right now. So now, first of all, in Pasuk Dal, verse 4, you have the word Vayiskanev, which can't be coincidental. Since the whole point of Avshalom's his sinking into evil was thievery, and his disregard for other people's property, as we saw when he burned Yoav's grain. And here in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, you have the word Vayiskanev, or Yiskanev, two times. Clearly, it is showing a midah keneged midah, a measure for measure. Avshalom was a ganav, he was a thief, and the people were, they stole away. They were, it's such an interesting use of the, it's interesting that in Hebrew, it seems like we're using it the same way we would use it in English. Mm-hmm. Right, to kind of like slink away, stole, right? But it's the same verb to bring out that point. But more than that, also in Pasuk Hey, that the king was la'at es panav, he hid his face. If you go back to the command that David gave the three generals before they went out to war about Avshalom, back in Perek Yud Ches in chapter 18, in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, it says, "Vayitzav Amelech es Yoav es Avishav es Itai Lemor." He commanded them all, saying, "Le'at li lanar, spare for me the child." It's the same letters.
So, what does it mean here in our pasuk that we're on now?
Here it means he covered or hid his face. Rashi brings from what you find with Eliyahu Anavi, that when he was in the cave, it says, Vayolet panav ba'adarto, he covered his face with his cloak. But there's no aleph in the word. Mm-hmm. Just lamed tes. And back before, le'at really comes from the word le'at, which means slowly.
Yeah.
Be patient with the child. But I'm pointing out to you that it can't be coincidental that it's the same letters used. That he had asked for patience with the child. When that didn't happen, he covers his face. Almost like the la'at wasn't given, so David is going to now have to use it in a different manner.
Yeah.
So it seems also a midah keneged, some sort of a measure for measure going on over here.
Can I ask one more question about the language? When we get to verse 10, Pasuk Yud, it says that the people in Nadon, is this from Din?
Yes, yeah. The Rashi says vikuach. Vikuach means debate, to talk back and forth. They were judging. They were saying, okay, what's going on? What's happening? You know, when news gets around, so people are, this is what was going on at Kiddush. You know, everybody was like, you know, would you hear what's going on? I don't know.
There's an element of judgment there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
About what they should do and what David is doing.
Right.
It's kind of a...
So what's the Navi is reporting to us what's happening in the popular culture. And what's going on amongst the populace right now? The general word on the street was getting around. Again, had David not embraced the victory, word on the street would be, David's a weak king, David is finished, we got to find another leader, we're leaderless, we're rudderless, Avshalom is killed, who's going to take over now? By embracing the victory, then word on the street gets around, David is in charge.
So I think the key question to all of this is, how do we rationalize or see the good or the merit in David's reaction? I mean, that's what's hard for me. I mean, he's, you know, I know this can't be right, but I'm way on the side of Yoav has got it right.
Really?
David is supposed to be leading the entire country. He can't take time out, you know, to start just going into deep. I know that I'm taking, you know,
Yoav maybe
one end of the spectrum.
It's heartbreaking, though.
It is heartbreaking. It is, Yoav uses as you all gasping as he's saying. Yoav is using very harsh words, but it snaps David out of it.
Yeah.
Yoav's words are effective. And he brings David back to where David needs to be right now. So the truth is that Yoav caused this because Yoav killed Avshalom, and now Yoav is solving the problem of the reaction. And it could be that in this case, the reaction really, Yoav is correct. That in the debate of whether to kill Avshalom or not, that already isn't so clear who was right and who was wrong. But once he's dead, it appears that Yoav is correct.
Right, that's how it appears to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got the welfare of Am Yisrael at heart. I mean, and when he says, you know, oh, great, you'd rather all the rest of us were dead, you know, that's exactly the image it's projecting.
Right.
My problem is totally different. You've got two messengers telling Dovid the news. Who's telling the mother of Avshalom what's happened here? Who's taking care of her?
Yeah. So I'm sure that was taken care of also. The reason why that's not reported in the Navi is because that does not affect Klal Yisrael. As Dovid's reaction is affecting the whole direction of what's going to happen next. So the reason why this is being reported to us is we're not being... The main point over here is not a question of look, there was compassion for David. You're right, because then we're going to show compassion, and not just the mother of Shalom. What about all the other people who were killed? I mean, 20,000 people were killed in this battle.
No, but I'm just thinking from where David's coming from, where he's thinking, I've got to get him out of Gehenna, and I have to get him in, you know, a better mm-hmm. place. He's obviously not thinking that the mother is capable of doing this.
Well, maybe they both did. Maybe they both davened. And we're told about David. Look, David is of the greatest people who ever walked the face of the earth. So it's hard to know. You know, I'm sure Avshalom's mother reacted as well. Just that it is very likely that David's davening is going to be the most effective davening. It's hard to know. It's very, very, you know.
The fact that Yoav disobeyed the order of the king, though, doesn't he answer for, I mean, I don't remember, but does he answer for that at some point?
Here on in, we're going to stop here for tonight, but we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis, right? 12. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we moved pretty quickly tonight. The next several psukim are going to be very difficult to work through. We're going to have all kinds of reactions. Lahavdil, I feel like from here for the next several psukim, it's reconstruction. Yeah. And reconstruction is far more complex than the Civil War. Now, it really is. The Civil War is, pardon the pun, black and white. Right? And it really is. I mean, the Civil War is pretty straightforward what happened over there. Reconstruction is extremely complex. Extremely complex. You know, carpetbaggers and the whole, everything. It's a very, very complex period in the history of the United States. Here, we're going to have an incredible complexity with what happens next. What happens with Yoav? What happens with Shimi ben Gera, who cursed David? What happens with Mephibosheth and Tziva? What happens with those who helped David? What happens with those who were against David? What about that pocket of resistance? What happens to Amasa, who was the general of Avshalom? Right. There's a lot of big players here and pieces that have to fall into place in reconstruction, and it's going to be extremely complex. So this is where we are, and it's not going to be simple. This is what we had until now. Interesting, two different points of view, how to react, etc. But the next little bit is going to be quite involved. So mitzvah Hashem next week.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.